The Mutual Broadcasting System presents I Love the Mystery. Carlton Morse adventure thriller, The Battle of the Century.
Looky, Jack. Ain't I about the prettiest thing you ever did see? Purple trunks and everything.
Doc, they are positively ghastly.
What you mean, ghastly? They asked me what colored trunks I wanted to fight in, and I said the purplest purple they had. These is them.
Yes, there's no doubt about them being purple, all right.
Yeah, they kind of match my red hair, don't you think?
No, I don't.
Well, that's because you ain't got no sense about colors, Jack. Well, maybe you're kind of colorblind or something.
I wish I was every time I look at you.
Well, you're simply going to overpower your cowboy opponent by sheer weight of color, Doc.
I'm going to overpower him with more in color. Boy, I'm going to wipe up the floor with that curly hombre.
The old fire eater himself.
You dang tootin'. Hey, Jack, you better hurry up and get yourself in your trunks. Fights are starting pretty soon.
I'm not going to put on any trunks. Well,
you ain't?
I am not. I think the whole business is silly. I'm not going to make it any sillier by dolling myself up like a chorus girl.
What you mean, chorus girl? These here are honest-to-goodness fighting trunks.
And I'm still not going to put them on.
Well, you'll have to strip down to the waist. They'll insist on that.
Then I'll strip down to the waist.
Well, anyway, fella, I put on these regulation shoes. Well, you don't want to have your feet go slipping out from under you just when you're ready to give him the coupe de grace.
What?
Oh, no. Coupe de grace.
Well, sure. Fighting in a ring ain't like fighting with your feet on solid ground. Come on here. Put on these shoes.
All right, Doc. All right.
Well, come on. Come on out there. What are we waiting for?
Well, Doc, I say there's still 20 minutes until we're due at the ring.
What I want to know is how did we get ourselves into this?
Well, that's simple. That curly cowboy got nasty with me, and I up and socked him to sleep. Now I got to give him a chance to get even. Only he ain't going to get even on account I'm going to send him bye-bye again.
Well, that doesn't answer my question.
Well, you ought to know how you got into this. That there ole hombre barges around the corner of the barn and smacks into you, and then he ups and takes a swing at you.
Yeah, but why did he take a swing at you?
Mm-hmm, because he has that kind of a disposition, I suppose.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Hey. What you talking about?
I think both of these fights are frame-ups.
Oh, look here, Jack.
How can they be frame-ups? Well, Curly picked a fight with me, and Ole picked a fight with you.
Well, that's just it. Two strangers pick quarrels with us out of the empty air. Why? It doesn't make sense.
Well, all I know is when a guy swings on me, he better duck on account of I'm going to swing right back.
Certainly. That's just what Jim Ross anticipated.
I see. Are you saying Mr. Ross deliberately set those men on you?
Sure he did. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
Well, what did he want to do that for?
For tonight's show.
I said, do you think his love of prize fighting would make him go that far? I mean, say, deliberately start a quarrel so that the men would fight it out in his own private prize ring?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Hmm? You heard him say he had 150 men working for him.
That's right.
And he also said that they put on two or three grudge fights in the ring every Wednesday night.
Yeah, sure he did.
Well, doesn't it sound a little unreasonable to you that 150 men can't work together without having two or three bitter quarrels every week?
Joe, that does seem a large percentage.
Unless all his men are as ornery as Ole and Curly.
Well, if they are, they've been made that way by Jim Ross.
What you driving at, son?
I think that man spends all his spare time causing trouble among his men just for the pleasure of seeing them fight.
Why, the old son of a gun.
Yeah, and we've fallen very neatly into his trap.
Yeah, son, I reckon ain't nothing we can do about it at this stage of the game.
No, but we can see that we don't fall into the trap again.
Well, I don't see how. Every time anybody takes a swat at me around this here ranch, I'm going to bop them right back.
Yes, and that's another fight for the ring.
Nothing of the kind. We'll insist on settling the argument right then and there.
Yeah, sure. That's the way to handle it.
Hey, where's Duke Carter? I ain't seen him all evening.
Oh, look here. He's about somewhere with Jacqueline Ross, naturally.
Yeah, I suppose so. Lucky stiff. Only good-looking girl in miles. She's got to be in love with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, your women always seem to be in love with someone else, Doc.
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
No.
Me being as popular as I am with women.
Just the same, Jack, that was a smart understanding you had with Mr. Ross, insisting that his daughter and Duke could see as much of each other as they liked until the fight.
Well, I didn't do it for them. I just thought it'd make the old man uncomfortable.
You don't like him?
Oh, he's all right, I guess. Only this prize fight mania proves that he's got a cruel streak in him. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
No, I say, there's one thing I don't care about.
Well, what's that, Ray?
This business of 2 weeks of training. He's already talking about coming over here and watching me train. What does he expect me to do? Put on a show for him?
Well, professionals always go through a lot of monkey business. Gym stuff, sparring partners, road work, stuff like that.
But I say I don't need it and I won't have it.
And you don't have to do it either.
Oh, look here, if Ross expects it of me,
well... Well, tell him to jump in the lake. Oh, by the way, Doc, I've got an idea. Let's see what you think of it.
Well, shoot, son.
How'd you like to go into the ring double tonight?
Double?
Yeah, we go in together. The old back-to-back stuff.
Hey, I think you got something, fella.
Yeah, it works in the open. I don't see why it wouldn't work in a prize ring.
Oh, boy, could we make Ole and Curly look silly.
It's spectacular and probably give the crowd some excitement.
Yeah, but look here, do you suppose Ole and Curly would go for it?
They will if Jim Ross tells them to.
Then all we got to do is sell the big boss on the idea.
Yeah, I can do that. He'll go for anything that's new and exciting.
I say, shall I go round up Jasper and have him take care of it?
Yeah, if you will, Reggie.
Hey, you suppose that's our call?
Well, I'll go have a look.
Well, tell him I'm ripping and raring to go.
I say, Mr. Ross. Miss Jacqueline?
Are the boys decent? Can we come in?
Yes, certainly. Come right in. We thought you two would be down at the ring.
No, there's lots of time for that. Hello, Mr. Packard.
Well, well, what's this?
Oh! Doc, what in the world are you wearing?
Hello, sugar. How you like my purple trunks?
They're terrible.
You must be colorblind, too. Howdy, Mr. Ross.
Well, you boys ready for the fight?
Sure we're ready. And we'll give you some fighting that is fighting.
But we don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, we don't like
it. And I don't blame you, either. I think my father is a mean, underhanded old man.
Jack Dempsey?
I do, and Duke agrees with me. Framing Mr. Packard and Doc.
Young woman, who's running this, you
bet? I don't care who's running it. You got Mr. Packard and Doc into this on purpose, and it's a mean trick, and Duke agrees with me.
Will you stop bringing that young whippersnapper into the conversation?
Duke is not a young whippersnapper.
Well, he is a young whippersnapper. He always was a whippersnapper, and he always will be a whippersnapper.
Dad, you're just saying that to infuriate
me. And you'll keep bringing his name into the conversation to infuriate
Duke
me.
Duke is the sweetest man in the whole world.
Yes, he's probably the poorest man in the whole
he's
world.
He's not. Well, he won't be forever. He's got ambitions.
That's right. He's got ambitions to inherit my money.
He has not.
I say he has.
I say yes.
Hey. You two, wait a minute here.
Doggone. Did you ever hear two people go on like that?
Well, what's a man to do with a daughter like Jack Dempsey? I ask
yes,
you.
Yes, and I ask you, what can a girl do with a father like Jim Ross? Well,
we're not interested in your family quarrel.
Well, you should be.
Honest to goodness, honey, do you and your papa go hammer and tongs like this all the time?
No, Dad can be as sweet as pie when he wants to. Trouble is, he never wants to.
Well, I tell you one thing. If my cousin Winnie Mae ever talked up to her papa like that, well... He'd have busted a rail fence over and flung her off a cliff long ago.
You never said a truer word. She's spoiled, spoiled rotten.
I don't care. I don't care about anything except marrying Duke Carter.
Well, you'll never marry him.
I will, too. Just as soon as Reggie wipes up the ground with Big Sweet, I'm going to marry Duke at the biggest wedding this county's ever seen, and you're going to pay for it.
When Reggie wipes up the floor with the Big Sweet...
Yes, and he can do it, too.
I say he can't do no such thing.
I say he can't.
Well, I say he can't.
Hey, will you two wait a minute?
Reggie can lick Big Sweet any day in the week.
Jacqueline, will you shut up?
Well, I don't care. You can't do.
Well, I agree with you, but I've got something more important to say right now.
What's more important than my marrying Duke?
Listen, Jack Dempsey.
And don't call me Jack Dempsey.
Well, I am calling you Jack Dempsey. If you don't keep still, I'm going to turn you over my knee and whale the living daylights out of you right here in front of your father.
That's the way to talk to a packet.
That's it. One girl against four men.
Honest to goodness, honey, you do talk awful loud and long for such a little piece of girl.
Will you all shut up and listen?
All right.
Now, look here, Ross. The fight starts in about 10 minutes.
That's right. All the boys are gathered down at the ring, and Jasper's refereeing.
Well, I don't care about that. I'm interested in what Jacqueline said about you framing us into these
fights. Oh, she don't know what she's talking about.
I do, too.
Be still.
Yes, sir.
I think she does know what she's talking about. I suspected it before she gave it away.
Well, what about it?
Just this. We go through with the fights tonight. But don't try it again.
If one of my men picks a fight, you gotta fight him or show the white feather.
But we don't have to fight him in the ring. And we won't fight him in the ring.
No?
No. We'll knock him out where he stands, and that'll be the end of it. Now then, tonight, do you want a really good show?
What do you mean?
Put Doc and me in together with Curly and Ole.
Four men?
Why not? Then you'll see a really good fight.
You boys want to do it that way?
Certainly.
Then, boys, that's how it'll be.
Whoopee! Jacqueline, tonight you're going to see some fighting that is fighting. Blood, guts, and feathers everywhere.
Further transcribed adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie will come to you tomorrow at this same hour. I Love a Mystery, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack, Jim Bowles as Doc Long, and Tony Randall as Reggie York. Frank McCarthy speaking.